Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle. The Bigger Picture with Ryan Hwang.
Money FM 89.3, you're in the breakfast huddle with Elliot Danko, Manisha Tank and Ryan Hwang. It is time for The Bigger Picture.
Okay, so this morning we heard Ryan announce it at about 7 a.m. UOB wrapping up their reporting season for the three local banks, giving their report card.
Quite a dramatic headline figure.
It is. 33% drop for its full year net profit for FY 2020, $2.9 billion. And that's on the back of a drop of 9% in total income for the year. And it's citing economies contracting because of COVID-19, lower margins from benchmark rate cuts, and reduced customer activity. So a rather similar story to what I've been hearing from OCBC and DBS in recent weeks. Let's break it down with the help of Daniel Tabush, founder of the Tabush Report. Morning, Daniel. How are you doing?
Good morning. Good. Thank you.
Hey, Daniel. Glad to have you on. So we want to get help to get a sense of where the results are in terms of our expectations. How do they align with what you're looking out for? Net profit down 33% year on year.
Yes, the numbers are in line, if not a little bit better. What we have to keep in mind is the sequential numbers. Year on year numbers for this bank and others are very difficult to give any real feel for what's happening. What matters is what's happening in Q2 relative to Q1, and especially Q4 relative to Q3 last year.
Yeah, Daniel, let's talk about that momentum in terms of Q4 versus Q3. Net profit, that was actually picking up 3%. So in terms of momentum, what are you seeing in terms of that momentum? Is that enough to keep things going?
Well, this is what I think a lot of people may be missing. For instance, with UOB, its credit costs were down about 17% in the quarter. And maybe some people, maybe the street is considering that has run its course. But we have to remember that its total provisions for the year is still well higher, almost four times higher year on year during fiscal 20 versus fiscal 19. The numbers will come down still a lot this year.
So in terms of provision and defaults, or rather provisions for defaults and bad loans, what are you taking away from the numbers? Is that improving as fast as expected in supporting the picture of a brighter outlook ahead? That seems to be what the banks are saying.
We would say so. We have to remember that all of these recovery numbers in the macro data, it's prevalent in many, many countries. It's certainly not just Singapore. And a lot of it was coincidental to opening up to restarting businesses and economies in the middle of last year. But we can see now that the outlook is much, much better than even in the middle of last year. And probably the likelihood of very strict business and industrial lockdowns is just no longer there.
Yeah, we're chatting with Daniel Tabush. He's the founder of the Tabush Report, helping us to break down UOB's latest report card. Now, looking at what UOB is saying about the outlook, Daniel, they are saying the macroeconomic outlook is improving. They've just completed an extensive review of his loan book. The portfolio is resilient and well collateralized and expects credit costs to be reduced in 2021. Do you like how UOB is positioned for growth?
We do like that. They also talk about improving loan growth. A lot of times these banks in a crisis will not want to shout about how good their numbers are. It's in poor taste. But their loan book under relief measures came down from $25 billion in December, in the September quarter to $18 billion. And that's a huge improvement in these relief loans. We also have to remember that this bank and a lot of others are focusing on a lot more commercial paper or current and savings accounts. So they're seeing an improvement, especially in the quarter, in their funding costs.
Yeah, one of the bright spots in the markets, it seems, in the past year was the property market. Is that going to be one of the bright spots for banks this year as we look at loans?
Oh, yes. This is one of the unintended consequences of a system where interest rates are, you know, close to zero. Not only does do consumers, do savers find it difficult to find any good yield, it means that they will search out better yields, better investments. Property is certainly top on that list because it's an inflation hedge as well.
So possibly some of that loans growth in the property side could offset some of the weaker parts of the portfolio. And then looking at the interest rates, we've been seeing bond yields spike higher in recent days. What do you think are the implications for banks here? Is that likely to give a boost to net interest margins this year?
In theory, it does. It's all about borrowing short, lending long. We know from the global financial crisis, and we know from mathematics, that as the yield curve steepens, banks tend to, not always, but tend to have a better net interest income. The funny thing is that it took 10 years for funding costs to get really, really low in the last crisis. In this crisis, it took only 1 year for funding costs to really collapse. So this bank went from 170 basis points to 98 in 1 year. And probably it'll get down further.
Yeah, and looking at the three banks, Daniel, which one looks the most attractive to you right now? I understand UOB has been trying to de-risk its portfolio for quite some time in terms of its loan book. Is that something you're quite attracted to right now in terms of where it is, in terms of strength in this loan book?
Possibly not. It could be a little bit ironic, but in an environment where oil prices are rising, recovery is expected to continue, where probably corporate demand for credit will improve just because rates are so low and corporates didn't do much, you actually might want a bank which has a fair degree still of oil and gas exposure. And we know that UOB has cut this exposure by more than 50% over the past few years. DBS, though, still has the highest amount. But for DBS, there's still a much better transformational story longer term with its Lakshmi Vilas Bank in India.
Yeah, talking about the LVB Bank, that seems to be making the headlines for the wrong reasons, struggling debt. Is that a big concern for investors for DBS?
It could be. I don't think that's the way investors are looking at it at the moment. But we have to remember the nominal GDP possibility, the growth potential in India is 5-10 times or higher. And we also have to remember that the branch network is over 500 branches. So this is not a story for today or tomorrow. It's for the next 1 or 2 or 3 or 4 years. Mm. But, you have to take your opportunities. Normally, they come in a crisis, and that's what DBS has done.
Yeah, we've talked about UOB, DBS in India. How about OCBC in China? How is that setting up for OCBC?
I think these banks have done fairly well in general in China. As you may know, Ryan, that the banks in China have not seen a big decrease in profit. They've not seen a big increase in NPLs or a bad credit cost during last year compared to almost every bank in the world. So for banks that have that exposure, like the banks in Singapore, like OCBC, it actually could be a fairly good positive.
Okay, a couple of growth drivers for banks to look out for in 2021. We've been chatting with Daniel Tabush. He's the founder of the Tabush Report. Daniel, thank you as always. Great chatting with you.
Thank you very much, Ryan. Talk soon.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.